Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, we'd like to welcome you to another episode of Missing Pages of History. As your host, Lee Robinson, we'll be doing basically a concept that we call What's Going On in the Neck of Your Wood. We are reaching out to all of the underserved communities, and we'd like to get your story. We'd like for you to fill in the missing pages of history as relates to the things that are going on in your community. You know, recently there are so many things going on around the world, and there are so many different perceptions of these realities. And often we don't get to hear from the people. So today, we have dedicated this program for you to call in at 818-337-0016 to share with the world and with our communities throughout the world on what's going on in the neck of your wood. With us right now, we have our brother Emmanuel out of North Carolina. He's going to lead us all to give us some insight of some of the things going on in the neck of his woods and what are some of the things that we can learn from it and its implication. Brother Emmanuel, what's going on in the neck of your wood down in Raleigh, North Carolina?
Well, the big thing going on, Mr. Robinson, is that, of course, what happened in Cleveland, Ohio, we're stepping up. We've got missing people here in North Carolina, been kidnapped, and what they're doing is police department, they know they're actually basically, you might say, auditing themselves what they can do better to identify missing children, and they're trying to up the resources and reopen some of these cold, I call them cold cases that have been happening for 8, 9, 10 years ago. And so I think the insight of Cleveland, Ohio sort of brought some things the police department was not doing and didn't do, how to respond to different types of communities. So now we've got to get more community-based because, as you see, what has happened in Cleveland, Ohio, why the girl was missing so long, because it was actually a poor community, it was actually a Puerto Rican community, per se, mixed of European-Americans and African-Americans and Chinese-Americans, but they were poor basically. They worked at the lower end of the jobs, you might say, the McDonald's, this type of thing, and some were on unemployment and some were getting assistance. And, of course, they work in manual tax jobs. So we have to look at every community as such. And, again, they were European girls, but still they were poor. So, again, regardless of who you are, as long as you're poor, look like the effort from the police department from law enforcement is not intensified when the person is poor, whether a person of color, like the Puerto Ricans, person, African American, this type of thing. But that incident has been in the news, I might say, for 5 days just about, and been very, very been filtered. And again, yes, spokespeople speaking for the police department trying to protect what they didn't do, how the response system was, they're the 911 call. So give them insight, what the police do basically in poor communities compared to, might say, more influential communities. And you saw that right there. The hero was an African-American man. He had some assistance from a Latin person later on. But it was emphasized that, I emphasize it, that when a white girl runs into a black man's arm, you know something's wrong. And that's what happened. And the young man, he had to prove something because, again, the media gave him a very low negative, context in the media. Some of them did, some didn't. You got malice news, and some really gave him his props. This Al Sharpton show, he really gave him some props. So most of it, I would say, I'm going to put it out there, the Democratic media gave him a more balanced approach, where the Republican leader really, just screwed him from the Rush Limbaughs and everybody else. He's a Republican, so I'm going to put it right out there. It is a division, and it seemed like the Democratic media gave him a lot of attention that was needed, and they gave a lot of positive attention. And McDonald's say, well, they want to keep him there, keep up on their umbrella. McDonald's, he don't have to worry about a thing. So it wasn't so much about this and that. He said his father, in his grave, if he didn't do what he did, his father would came back and beat him out of his grave. So things that he said had some real contentious value to me, things he was saying. He said, I was eating a Big Mac. Well, McDonald's jumped on that. That's advertising, free advertising. So I just took things out that were positive because, again, the thing out here when I was going to college and extensive studies, it said be sure that you report negative news on African Americans 90% of the time. And that's what they do. So that's out there. I got that out of Stanford University. So when you look at stuff like this, you expect that. But again, the positive side is a good side. So he's going to be on the radio show today. He's going on different shows, everything else. And so he's, like I said, he get a very good statement. He told the truth. So how it came out in dialectical value, how it came out of the truth in articulation, that's another thing. He did very well as far as I'm concerned. But the big thing is that's what we're doing in our neck of the woods, and looking at missing persons and seeing exactly what we can do so we don't avoid the pitfalls I saw in Cleveland from the police department there. When they were notified, they seen these young people, they seen them. But again, it's community-based, how it's prioritized. This is what we're all about. We have to understand that. Prioritization, everything we do, how we prioritize things, even in our life, how we prioritize things. So, again, we saw the priorities, how the police set it out there for 10 long years, and, again, they got a chance to get out. And when they got out, this young man helped him in the community. He lived in that community. He helped him as he'd been about a year. And what he did was very heroic. All the accolades come toward him. They should be there, and he should accept them with gratitude. But one person said, the community, again, was when they characterized the community, they said basically it was, basically on assistance. And the first thing he did, he pulled his check out of his pocket and said, I'm not on assistance. I have a job. I have a check. So people like, again, media makes things out of something sometimes it's not true. And when they had to back up, they don't know how to back up. It's tough to back up from a lie. It's very difficult. And like I say, it's the most difficult thing is to back up from a lie when you put it out there. Because once you push that sin button, it's over. When you put your mouth out there, that's a sin button to me. That your mouth is a sin button. Once you push that button and it get out there, people don't forget that, especially the negative stuff. But I thought it was a good portrayal. And like I say here, we're stepping up things, looking at everybody regardless of the community. Regardless of their ethnicity, we're stepping it up. One time we spent a lot of money on milk cartons and things, drinks and whatever. Some of the fast food restaurants put the kids on the cartons, on their cups. So now they're going to stay stepping this back up here in my neck of the woods. Again, we got people missing here also. And the big thing is 47% of people missing African Americans. 47%. That statistic came out. I'm like, wow, that was on CNN. I was amazed at that statistic. And again, when a person from a poor community usually, disappear, whatever, they said a runaway. They use other terminologies because, again, the poor community, there is no ransom. What you going to get? So, just look at the whole thing here. So there's no ransom going, but a rich person, of course, there's a ransom. So, of course, priority is being set out there. So that's another thing. It's about money versus no money. But again, the have and the have nots. But that's what's happening in my neck of the woods, basically. The news here has been plastered, of course, with the three missing people in Cleveland, Ohio. And of course, they were found. And of course, the person, they called him a monster. Well, a person is still a human being, whether they're a monster or not. All the other things come with it. But he has a meeting with the Almighty. And it's not going to be a good meeting in my book. But like the things he did was totally, I can't believe a person can be this type of human being. But you see, this is how we are. In a community like that, it can happen because it's not a priority. Poor is not a priority. The safety net do not guard this like other things are guarded. So I'm saying to everybody, if you're listening to me, that if a person is missing, just be alert. And be responded. And again, don't forget that person is missing. They need a lot of comfort when that happens. I hope these kids, these children, these women get back into what life is all about. They missed a lot of life in a dungeon. I mean, all the things they have missed. All I can say, that God have mercy on his soul, because again, there was something there that no one can, you don't raise a child like that. No one wants to raise a child like that. He's a grown man, 53 years of age, and look what he did to these three women. I just don't believe it yet, but like I say, it happened. and he's saying, I did this. And it was their fault. They got into my car. Well, but that's quite an excuse there. That's quite an excuse. But again, that was happening in the back of my woods on the missing people, or the people who were found in Cleveland, Ohio, and the hero was Mr. Ramsey.
Okay, on that note, Emmanuel, we're going to put you on hold. We're going to be coming back to you because we're going to further discuss that issues and maybe some more issues that's going on in the back in the neck of your woods. Right now, we're going to go to our community up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We talk with our members, Michaela and Sister June, and we'd like to give them an opportunity to share with the rest of the world what's going on in the neck of their woods. What's going on up in the city of Brother Love, Brother Michaela and Sister June? Do we have Brother Michaela on the line? Okay. We're going to try one more time, see if we get Brother Michael on the line. Brother Michael, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, good. We can hear you. Good, good. We want to know what's going on in the neck of your woods.
Okay. Good to talk to you guys again. Very interesting topic. We've had cases like that here in Philadelphia. A few months ago, a little girl was abducted and taken to a house and held over I believe it was a period of a day or so. And one of the neighborhood people was on his way to work. And this is a regular young fellow, family man himself. He heard the girl crying in the playground. And this is about 5 o'clock in the morning. And what he did was heroic also. He actually went there, covered the girl with his jacket, because all she had was a T-shirt, and it's pouring rain and it's cold. And he makes the call to 911. And gets the police involved, which is a great move. We see a lot of the heroics in the community are just from regular people, not necessarily an appointed leader or a political leader or even a religious leader, but just folks who have good hearts, I guess. That's my wife's comment. She's on the side here. What I thought was interesting about that particular case, though, is the reaction from more the black audience in response to the hero's appearance and diction. And it made me think of the same, that incident we had a while back with the young lady who won the Olympics in gymnastics. A portion of our own community was very critical of her because she didn't have a perm. And I think that's something that we need to look at ourselves and ask, what is it that we expect of ourselves, and how can we judge ourselves outside of somebody else's viewpoint? In other words, if I speak the King's English, am I a better person? Not necessarily. But this seems to be an issue that we've, as a black community, have had for quite a while, in terms of our self-image and the image of that we project when we do come into contact with the media. But that's our comment for Philadelphia. We're primarily hoping that people in the community here, we have Empress Chi. She's working very hard for violence, to prevent violence against women. And we hope that the community at large will come together to force these issues to be addressed by the police and by the authorities in their areas.
Okay. Is there anything that the sister would like to say from a woman's perspective of some of the things going on in neck of her wood before we move to Richmond, Virginia?
Hi, this is June, and to further comment on what Michael was saying, that particular case about the young girl who was abducted here in Philadelphia not too long ago, it started in the schools. It opened up a whole can of worms of the security issues for the schools. A young lady was able to dress in an Islamic garb, walk into school, tell the principal that she had the rights or the authority to take this young child out of class. They did not check who she was, didn't know anything, just they allowed her to do that. And as a result, she got abducted. And from that came a whole ramifications of who is watching our children? What are the schools doing about security? And when are they going to start putting security policies in place for our schools? But the good thing is that the child was seen, as Michael said earlier, by a passerby, a young man who happened to be walking by, and she was not captured and allowed to stay for a long period of time.
Okay, we'd like to inform our listeners today, feel free to call in at 818-337-0016. We basically have an open topic. We're discussing what is going on in the neck of your woods. There are so many things going on in our community. We're going to put our people who are located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on hold, and we're going to move down to Richmond, Virginia, see what are some of the issues, ideas, and things that's going on in the back in the neck of their woods in Richmond, Virginia. To Richmond, welcome. We have with us Sister Susie. Can you share with us what's going on in the neck of your woods in Richmond, Virginia?
Well, one of the issues here in Richmond is the incident with the brother that the bombing in Boston. The fact that they actually, there's individuals who got the individual bird here in Dinwiddie County, which people are in the uproar. Although, basically, it brings up several factors. Because of what he did, is he not allowed to be buried in a cemetery? The fact that the officials in the area or that county had no knowledge that he was coming. The fact that how will it impact us in the future with certain events? Does that mean you're not allowed? And then from a religious perspective, can individuals make that determination that he can't be buried?
That is real interesting. I think that's something people need to pay attention to. But in terms of just raising that issue, I think that issue is like a nationwide issue. I think all of the communities have been exposed to the media around this recent bombing up in Boston and how they're dealing with the one individual who has been killed. Now, what I would like to do is I would like to maybe get Emmanuel's position perspective on this question on whether or not how do he view this question of people have the right to be buried as they see fit, irregardless of whatever crime they have committed. Because I do know that there has been other crimes, even worse than this one, that did not receive the attention that this particular one received. Just in general, Emmanuel, what is your take just on the position of people having the right, irregardless of what crime they may have committed, the right for them to be given a fair burial? How do you view this, Emmanuel?
Well, see, burial is it's a whole different subject, basically. During the segregation period, blacks couldn't be buried where whites were buried in cemeteries. Well, we have a cemetery here where I was born in my hometown called Black Man Cemetery. Only black folk are buried there. Is that a religion, or that's a color thing? Or that's a density? What is that one? So we talk about Indian burial grounds. What are we talking about here? How about the guy that did the Oklahoma, 130-some people got killed? See, we got to look at this thing a different way. When something happened, seemed like we make everything out of a controversy. We try to bring religion into it all the time. Not humanity, but religion. We have Jewish cemeteries. Well, what's that all about? Could you bury somebody else up in there? A person can become a Jew, or become an Orthodox Jew, basically. So a person can join the Muslim religion, or they can join, Catholic or whatever. So when they get involved, you're dead in the cemetery. Some places don't have cemeteries at all. It's burned up. How about cremation? I mean, we look at a lot of stuff, and you spread your ashes up, ashes out in the ocean. Well, I'll come back on a storm. No, you've been some whales or some shark's body. You're not in no doggone storm. The fish are going to eat you up. Soon they smell that flesh, they're going to eat you up. So let's be sensible here. People, again, they pick things they want to do. How many slaves got? I didn't want to get into that one, being buried. And the people who killed them, they were terrorists who killed the slaves. Where are they buried? So,
Emmanuel,
can... whole subject matter on this. And like I say, he's dead, he's buried, and electrocute people who did bombers or did this, electrocute them. What did they do? Nobody. But again, because Massachusetts, things that the people up there in Massachusetts think they're a little different than anybody else sometimes. Every state has a way of, you know, saying, well, I'm this and I'm that. We have to stop it. We have to stop and look at ourselves. Look in the mirror at yourself. Michael Jackson made that song, Look at the Mirror. We need to look in the mirror. What are you going to do? Don't make any difference. Just bury the man, put him what you're going to do with him, and get it over with. Not the only one ever did a bombing. How about all the people that got been in 9/11? Where did they bury those guys who hijacked the planes? Where are they buried at? Nobody knows. Nobody cares. Didn't come off like that because you're talking about the people that got killed. So again, when they can isolate the incident and make a controversy out of it and make a political and put it into politics for one of the things that we do, that's how we do it. But coming back to what Mike said earlier about Mr. Ramsey and his dialect and articulation, another young man came on named Khalid. Very articulated. Didn't talk about him. Very highly educated. Works for a nonprofit. Nobody said a word because he could speak very, very well. Two ladies came on. We have a nonprofit. They do know the missing children. And those two ladies came on. Nothing was said. Articulation like you never saw it before. Then sing those on. But like I say again, they do not report on the 10% positive news on us. The 90% is what they're supposed to do. And they've been doing it, and they're going to continue doing it. It is written as such. So that's where we are. So you're going to look at this. Again, you got to make sure the news is balanced. And don't, like I said, I always talk about the other side. Because one word is in my vocabulary called ignore. That's the one I use all the time. I ignore it. I ignore ignorance. And ignorance has no pattern. Has no pattern. It covers everybody. Just ignore it. Flip the channel. If you don't want to, let's flip it. If you have an option. But my thing is always is the word ignore. I ignore ignorance. I don't listen to Russell Lumbo. I don't buy nothing that sponsors him. Forget it. I ignore that particular individual. I ignore him. So that's what you got to deal with. So I don't talk about it that much, ignoring it. But ignore is my big word. As to what I do, I ignore it. It's all about respect. And I do that. But again, heroics got to be, get your accolades behind the heroic things. And the only thing we got to speak about, we got to turn that around. We got to talk 90% positive news about African Americans. It's already written to talk 90% negative news on us. Why not we do the same thing? I don't know. We got people in the community that are real outstanding, and recognize these people as far as you can go and kill the jealousy. Let the jealousy go. That's my take on that. The young man being buried. I don't know if he was a citizen or not. I think they say he was. I know he was married. He married, whatever. And he got a child here. So all that was that. But again, certain things got into his revelation. He did what . So again, that's another hatred crime as a terrorist per se. But these things are going to happen as long as we live here. This country got started with people that were criminals, and these criminals are not going anywhere. England put criminals to start this country because we had to kill the Indians. Why are you going to start a country with nice people? We could never got the Indians out of the way. We got to wake up and look at what history did. They sent criminals over here, rapists, murders. That's what they sent over here to start this country with. Do you think they're going anywhere? They're not going anywhere. That's why they're here. That's why we got what's going on. The world started with Abel and Cain. You know what happened. They know that story. So let's get with it. We've got to deal with it. Just deal with it. This is going to happen. It's going to never stop. Because this is how it got started. This is the resume for this country. They got started with criminals, rapists, murders, had all got. And like I say, it wouldn't happen with what we got now. These people have. So you're going to deal with this all the time. You're going to deal with embezzlement. You're going to deal with fraud. You're going to deal with dealing with people. We're going to deal with the Ten Commandments, where that thou shalt not steal and people steal. Thou shalt not kill and people kill. Thou shalt not lie and people lie. All this stuff is there. It's right in front of your faces. Read it. It's all there. And this is what they do. Let's face it, people. Understand what's going on. It's all there. That's how it got started. You can't take zebra. You can't take stripes off a zebra or stripes off a tiger. This is what this is all about. Beasts. Let's get with it. Revelation tells you that. So it's
okay.
Not going anywhere. It's going to continue and continue and continue. Because this is how it got started in America. Killing the Indian first, taking everything he got. Thou shalt not steal. They stole everything from him.
Okay.
So that's where we are. Well, like I say, you know, I don't take anybody a whole lot of time, but that's my opinion, and it's very strong. And it's historical, and it's believable, and it's the truth.
Okay, we're going to stop right there, Emmanuel, and we're going to alert our listeners that you are listening to Missing Pages of History. We are by a weekly radio talk show, live talk show, that can be heard on every other Saturday at 12 noon. Feel free anytime to call in at 818-337-0016. Tonight we are just basically talking about what's going on in the neck of our woods. We would also like to alert our listeners is that we're going to run over a few minutes, that if you want to hear the entirety of this program, you can always log in at blogtalkradio.com/ and type in Missing Pages of History. We went over a few minutes, so we can go back to our brothers and sisters up in Philadelphia, the city of brother love. And we like to raise the issue of, I would like to just know, because I know this has also been an issue that's all over the internet and in the various communities, the issue of the increased bounty on Assistant Asada Shakur, who is a political asylum refugee who's living in Cuba. And they've also read this question of the recent killing of the grandson of Malcolm X. What has been the general response in the city of Philadelphia, as well as the showing of the film on Mubi Abu-Jamal, his life of him as a family man? What has been some response in general on those issues, Brother McKay or Sister June, if you can give a sense of what's on the minds of the community when it comes to those particular subjects matter?
Okay, this is Mikhail. The whole community's been a little bit, disturbed, actually highly disturbed about these sequence of events. We've had the Mumia trial and that whole situation with the two move incidents. I was here in Philadelphia at the time when the first move riot took place. Police cordoned off the area. We had to show ID getting in and out of this area. And this is back in the 70s. And eventually, after the move, people were incarcerated. They destroyed all the evidence of that particular site. There was a second move incident in Philadelphia, in the western section called West Philadelphia, and there was a bombing as the result of trying to quiet the move members at that particular location. The house was burned down. A lot of people died. There was only like two survivors, I believe. And matter of fact, the entire neighborhood caught fire. And then we see now that after all this time that the FBI decides to issue a pretty hefty reward and put Sister Asada Shakur at the top of that list for targeting more, it seems to be. So we see these incidences and we begin to wonder, to what level are we under attack? It doesn't seem to be reasonable to bring this up at this time. And then most recently we hear of the grandson of Malcolm X being killed. We don't have much information on that. At this point it seems to be that he was shot, supposedly during a robbery attempt, and then thrown off the building. We know he had been picked up by, I believe, the CIA on his way to a film conference in North Africa, and this was maybe a few months ago. So there's very little information that I have on that particular incident, but it's very disturbing, and it's creating a sense of unease concerning the black community's relationship with the United States government at this point.
Okay, so that's the general feeling in the community. How do you feel on those issues? Can we go to Richmond, Virginia, to Sister Susie? I would like to give her a big final word in terms of anything else you'd like to share with the audience, what may be going on in the neck of her woods. Sister Susie, are you there? You're trying to go to Richmond, Virginia, because I know Richmond, Virginia is the capital of the Confederate, they said. So, you know, when you're the Confederate, I know there's all kinds of things going on. Sister Susie, is there anything else you'd like to say, final words to the audience on what's going on in the neck of your woods in Richmond, Virginia?
No, that was the basic thing there that's the main topic among the communities that I'm aware of.
Okay. We can close out with our brother Emmanuel. We're going down to North Carolina, give him a final thought on what's up in the neck of the woods, and then we'll tell you how you can help and support your missing pages history. Brother Emmanuel, can you give us a final thoughts on what's going on in the neck of your woods for our audience?
Well, that's about it. The NAACP director here he was jailed, been in jail for 5 days now, protesting the voter suppression and some of the gerrymandering they're doing to, again, because the Republicans are losing power, and all they can be controlled basically is to do things, you know, that makes controversy all the time. That's to attack the president, regardless. But we, you know, as few people talk, I wish I could get out there and talk to our governor. They get ready to do some crazy stuff now, which I think is okay doing this, but get ready to tax haircuts, you know, beauty salons, pigment doing hair and stuff and nails. We're getting ready to tax, go this route now. I guess landscaping, all these, you know, again, people who are self-employed, you might say, would have business of this magnitude. But again, taxing a haircut and taxing, you know, beauty salon places and nail shops and this type of thing. So we trying to, you know, we're in a big, you know, big crisis for us, deficit concerned education. They've taken out some of the, you know, the assistant teachers, this type of thing. But again, they're increasing people who are on top, who are already making money. The increases are coming here, and the decreases are coming to people that are actually not making any money. So again, they're doing that. And of course, they cut unemployment after 12 months. It can be 9 weeks to 12 weeks, so no more than a year. And they cut the benefits here from close to $500 a week. People were making $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 who got to 520, which were basically, you know, European Americans making that kind of money. So you looked at that, they're trying to basically, you know, how do we knock us, you know, African Americans and Hispanics is who making the least amount of money. And but these are the kind of things that our Republican government is putting in place now. I mean, this stuff is so crazy, it's pathetic. They're attacking Medicaid here, which, again, 44% of people on Medicaid are poor people, basically, who make under $15,000 a year. They're knocking the minimum wage. They're trying to get it to $10 an hour on the federal thing, but now they're still trying to make it worse here. And, of course, on a lot of jobs here that are wages and this type of thing, they want to make $3.75 an hour, and you know, the rest are going to be on tips. So I think the impact on the salons and the barbershops and this will be that the guys who cut your hair will get less tips because now they're putting tax to it. And all they're trying to do now is catch people who've been, you know, who ride nice cars, got nice homes, the people who work at salons and barbershops, this type of thing, cutting grass. You know, they got homes and they got, well, when they, if they do this tax thing on them, they're going to go back, the IRS is going to hit them up. That you claim you make $18,000 a year, but you're driving Mercedes Benz or driving the Cadillac or driving this, and the salon lady driving a nice Camry of this, and you're making, now how can you pay a car payment and make a house note and make it $19,000 and this, that? So this is going to act where they're doing it, put them into the fold. So you're going to see a lot of people get audited. You're going to see a huge crisis. See, I see the undeveloped stuff. I see what's going on by being Six Sigma. I can see what it's leading to. But they camouflage, of course. Well, you think those people, if, you know, get a haircut, they should pay taxes on him, you know. So don't attach to a rich person. The person who's making money, who's paying 89% tax, who are millionaires, and now you're going to end up paying 29 to about 40% taxes. So this is where they come in. They do not want to raise tax on the rich or go back to what Clinton did. Now, this is crazy stuff. This is totally crazy stuff.
Sound like to me, Mr. Manuel, just there's a pipeline so more people come in to fill up these prisons.
Yeah, that's a huge thing also, because a lot of people want to pay this. They're locking up people now who don't pay child support, and they're taking their license away. Well, you take the person's license away, you got a car, they're picking up cars like crazy, because if that person has child support, they put them in jail. He done lost his car. He done lost his home. He done lost it. So where did this stuff go? Well, the sheriffs picked it up, and they have what they call an auction. See, this is all there. We just don't look at it. We have no third eye. I keep a third eye, and I keep a third ear. We only got two eyes, we got two ears. We look at stuff, we isolate stuff. Isolate stuff. This is huge. This is billions of dollars. We're talking about millions of bucks a thousand. We're talking about, this is, can you imagine when the IRS step on these people? They're saying right now you can go back 2 years for babysitter. 2 years and say, this is what I made and file your taxes and be no penalty. How about the babysitter that's not going to do it? This is the kind of stuff we're talking about. Not the penalty. This is what the Republicans put out there. Not to collect money from these rich people, not even paying taxes. There's $41 trillion in offshore banks, and the top bank is Monaco, with $18 trillion, Monaco. Where all that money driving up down these highways free, paying taxes, no taxes? I mean, it's amazing. The citizens of corporations don't pay taxes. How about the people that work for them? What are they writing off? Haircuts, nails done, clothes. You can't write your clothes up. The write-offs are just pathetic. They paying about 8, 9, 10% taxes. Why did Ronda, our governor, by the way, didn't show his tax returns? Because he's a crook. He's not going to show his tax returns. Why should he?
Hush your mouth, Mr. E. Emmanuel, you better hush
he's
your mouth.
He's
get in trouble. Call
him. I'm not going to get in trouble, sir. I don't get in trouble. I'm not afraid. I have no fear factor.
You don't want to come up missing.
I have no fear factor in me. I get checks every month. They can't take them from me, so I'm fine. They can't do anything. When you're working, they can do a bag. I'm not working no more. When I work, they did stuff against me, of course. I know it. But the fear factor is not there. And we have to look at this. We have to look and see what's going on. We don't look at the history. These are the missing pages of history. These are pages we got to fill. That's our job, to fill these pages that are missing. Now, we don't do that.
And on that note, we'd like to close out and share with our audience is that you have been listening to Missing Pages of History. If you'd like to join and get involved with us and help build this institution for underserved communities, you can reach us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com, or you can call us at 804-519-0357. We would like to welcome your skills, your services that you can provide to help create this institution to become a valuable one where we can serve our people, where we can help play a proper role in making sure that we can eradicate hunger and injustice, where we can practice this whole idea that allow each individual to be able to reach their full potential based upon their own efforts and capabilities. Until next time, we'd like to thank you for watching, and we'd like to tell you, please join us, and so you can fill in your missing pages of history. Until next time, let's strive to go forward wherever and backwards never. You have been listening to a special episode on what's going on in the nick of Al Woods. Until next time, we'll see you, and let's strive to go forward. Thank you. This has been Missing Pages of History.